Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. And I'd like to welcome everybody. We're here at Vets Hall in Morro Bay. We have a quorum present of five members with two members prearranged absence, Dawn Addis and David Batant. So I'd like to open the meeting, and we will rise for the Pledge of the Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We'll begin with, are there any committee announcements? Starting to my left, Walter.
Announcements?
Yes.
Yes, hi. Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to let the community know that tomorrow, Morro Bay and Bloom volunteers are going to attempt to install our first fall floral tableau, replete with pumpkins and mums and the whole nine yards, straw bales and stuff. That's going to take place tomorrow at 9 a.m. So if you see some activity at the Travel Circle, you'll know what it's all about.
Yes, I finally have something. Wanted to announce that the Morro Coast Audubon Society is running a photography contest. There are 15 entrants. Everyone is allowed to submit a vote. You can do it online through the Morro Coast Audubon website, or you can go to the Audubon office, which is with the estuary downtown, and you can submit a vote there. So I encourage everyone to pick your favorite photos. We're going to make some postcards out of them. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bart. Let's see, I'll open it for public comment. Is there any public that would like to comment on items not on the agenda, please? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the consent calendar. Item A1 is the approval of the minutes from our last month meeting held on September 18th, 2018. Has everybody had a chance to review those, and are there any updates or corrections needed? I didn't see any either. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll so move.
All right. Thank you, Walter. That was, I'll second it. Barbara Spagnola. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Carries 5-0. Thank you. All right. That brings us to our business items. Item B1 is a brief finance update that'll be done by Jennifer Calloway, our finance director. Go ahead, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one update today. This week we have our auditors on site doing our year-end audit, so they stopped by just to be introduced. We have Paul and Gerald. They're both from the Poon Group. They came yesterday, was their first day on site. They're scheduled to be here all week. They're working over in the annex, and I promised them they wouldn't have to answer questions because they just started their field work, but I did want you to have a chance to meet them and see our auditors. So.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Jen on that report or on the audit?
No, I think we are, we are on schedule with that. Obviously, the commitment this year is to get the CAFR done, so we're ahead of their field work from last year at this point. I think we've gotten you pretty much everything you need. A couple of things we're following up on, but we're on target so far.
Okay, great. And this committee will have an opportunity to review the CAFR, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Welcome. Oh, go ahead, John.
When we talked last month, you mentioned that you thought the purchase order module, maybe you might be starting work on it fairly soon. What's the status on that?
It's deployed. It's being used by all of the departments at City Hall, the Public Works Department, and all of the work functions in that, if you will. So that includes water and sewer, consolidated maintenance, engineering, and the fire department. Our next training is scheduled with the Harbor Department to get them on board. And then we have recreation teed up to go after Harbor, and we'll follow with tourism, community development, and police. So we're phasing it in. We hope to have them all using it by the end of the calendar year.
Has there been any issues with the module as you've been deploying it?
Nope. We did find a few little, you know, quirks, as has been consistent with our finance system. But it's working fine. It's great that we're able to attach contracts to the PO and store them electronically. We store all the insurance documents with the PO. Because of the approval process, we make sure there's a business tax on file, and have been recording the business tax number with the PO in the notes section. If there's, with the fire truck, for example, we attach the staff report that was approved by council to justify the single source purchase. So it's all housed in one area from an audit trail perspective and just a, you know, efficiency perspective on staff's end. It makes it very nice.
And then the other thing, which I came, you know, your girls at the front desk were saying that they would really like to be able to reactivate a water account rather than create a new one when someone has their water turned off. Are you going to be able to request any support from our financial, the people who provide the financial software?
We talked about that right after the last CFAC committee and trying to get a better understanding of what their concern is. We don't have a plan to solve that yet, but we've been having conversations about what, and really what's the number of people or number of times does it make sense, or was it?
Anything else? Okay, thanks. I think by girls you meant the female employees.
I'm an old white man, and I have hard learning curve. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We don't want to offend anybody. Thank you. Okay, so that brings us to B2, and that would be the fourth quarter investment report ending the period June 30th of the last fiscal year. I know we had discussed a little bit of that.
I'm sorry.
I'm reading from the... My mistake. That brings us to, yes, okay, B2, the fourth quarter investment report. You have that, or?
I think maybe you're looking at the minutes.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at the minutes, sorry. The fiscal emergency plan, which we had a long discussion on last time, short-term plan.
Jennifer,
and the triggers.
Actually, did you want to excuse them, or they can stay?
Okay.
I mean, they can stay.
Maybe they're interested, I don't know. But
likewise, thank you.
So B2 is a continuation from last month's discussion. We spoke about the mitigation or the triggers, the economic triggers for the short-term fiscal emergency plan, agreed to the five that are presented on page one of the staff report. We took that to council the following week, and they also, by consensus, agreed to those five. So this is the next phase, which is the mitigation measures. And this would be how we would address should one of those triggers be activated. There's six of them that are proposed. We did meet with the employee budget group for consensus on these as well. The six that are proposed are hiring chill, and I would just note that that's not a hiring freeze, nor is it furloughs, nor is it layoffs, again, because this is a short-term, very reactive list of mitigation measures. It would require that any vacant position, should it be filled or should we try to hire for it, would need city manager approval. So he or she would need to determine that it is, you know, a position that can't be left vacant for whatever reason. A travel chill, so that would obviously include, you know, travel for training or anything like that. And again, the city manager would have to approve that. CIP deferrals and reprioritizations. This really came out of the employee group discussion. CIP projects that are being funded through the general fund would likely be deferred for obvious reasons, but it did raise a point that we have a, you know, list of capital projects and some of the enterprise funds that perhaps some of our staff in the general fund would be qualified to do, particularly in consolidated maintenance, if there's some portions of those, and that we might need to consider bringing forward to council options to reprioritize those if the enterprise funds could support it. So there would be an analysis and a discussion with council regarding that. One-time operating cost reviews, we talked about at the last meeting how our budget is primarily supporting salaries and staff. There's limited opportunity to cut non-personnel expenditures, but to the extent that we could identify those and point those out, that's what number four is attempting to capture. Use of fund balance. The council has been approving policies. The last meeting, they're going to hear the general fund and reserve policies at the 23rd meeting, kind of the second go-around at those. The policies are all setting minimum funding levels and target funding levels, so there's a range, if you will. And to the extent that we would either fall within that range or have to point out that it would be below the minimum, there could be a proposal to use fund balance in one of the reserve funds. And then six is kind of a, you know, obviously vague and a catch-all, but other curtailments, so anything that we could identify. And again, keeping in mind this is short-term reaction, you know, reactive. It's not a long-term, would stay in place forever kind of response. So anything at the time that may change that the city manager, staff, or council could point to as another curtailment, we kind of put that in as a catch-all, and the employee group was okay with that as well. So just like last time, kind of looking for feedback and discussion, we'll be sharing these with the council. I believe it's scheduled for the first meeting in November at this point, and get feedback from them. And, of course, we'd share any feedback from the committee with the council at that time.
Okay, thank you. So last time we all agreed on the economic triggers as defined, and we provided some comments, and we had some of the similar questions on what the triggers were financially, if it was one fund or three funds not meeting that criteria. So it looks like you, and by the revenue funds, they are the largest for the city, the sales tax, TOT, and property tax for everybody's. So your employee group got together and made these suggestions. And bearing in mind that this is short-term, I'd like to open it up for discussion or questions. Go ahead, John, please.
What's the definition of short-term?
Well, per the triggers in here, we use an example of two consecutive quarters. I think when we kind of put these pieces all together and draft the whole plan, we would define, you know, a period not to exceed. But again, the point of this is to provide some temporary relief as we move into like a long-term, you know, sustainability and what other options may be. So maybe the, you know, immediate reaction is a hiring chill. Maybe long-term it's something else beyond that, a hiring freeze, furloughs, something to that extent. So we would need to define that period of how long would you go through a hiring chill, I think, in the total document, and we haven't done that yet.
Would you be thinking short-term would be something like until, like, the next quarter or until the end of the year?
It wouldn't, certainly wouldn't be longer than a year. It would be something less than 6 months in my mind.
Okay.
So you're saying based on you don't want to be too prescriptive, like 90, like sometimes like something like a travel freeze might, or a travel chill, whatever we call it, might only be 60 days or 90 days, but that would be at the discretion of the city manager or city staff when you open this discussion. Okay, thank you. Is that?
Yeah, and then I had another question is you have 5A and no 5B. Is there a reason?
No reason.
Okay.
Bart?
To make sure I understand the relationship between this and the emergency fund, my interpretation would be that one or more of the five triggers could trigger one or more of the six actions, one being to go into the fund balance. Can I assume that's the emergency fund balance?
So for your first part of the question, that's correct. If one of the triggers, one or more of the triggers is met, then one of more of the six mitigation measures could be employed. The fund balance is referring to general fund emergency reserve. There's an emergency reserve for water, sewer. We're creating or proposing one for the tourism fund as well, and any of those emergency reserve funds that, but keep in mind that water, for example, the accumulation fund can only be used for the water enterprise activities. So it would have to be, there would have to be a need to reduce costs in the water fund.
Okay. So I don't know if there's a set of triggers uniquely for the emergency fund, but these certainly seem to be tied into it. Where I'm going is the city council decided to take money out of the emergency fund to basically pull Cerrito Peak off the market. I look at these five. In my mind, these don't trigger. None of them would seem to relate to that. So I guess I'm wondering how that fits in. Also, as I recall, when that decision was made, it was going to be a periodic review. I don't know that there's been an update or review. And I know a three-year term was discussed. I don't know if that got into the actual motion or not, but I think the general understanding is that. So I guess my question is, how does that fit in to this? Because it doesn't seem to be one of the five that would trigger the number five action.
So any of the reserve funds could be used at council discretion. They wouldn't necessarily have to be one of these triggers. The proposed policies that we've drafted, again, have those kind of minimum and target funding levels, so this kind of band of desirable funding level. Anything above the target funding level would be available at council discretion to allocate or appropriate to a project, something. Whatever the choice would be, staff would likely make a recommendation, but council could do by policy and by council action appropriate to anything such as Cerrito Peak. And even if the emergency reserves were to fall below the minimum funding level, there is language in the proposed policy that would require staff to come back with a plan over 3 years to bring it back up to that minimum funding level. So that's even an option. Again, based on either the economic conditions at the time, council policy, it wouldn't necessarily have to fall under one of the triggers for any of the reserve funds to be used.
So in essence, maybe there's a number six, which is other, under the triggers. Because basically, that's what the Cerrito Peak was. It was an other at the discretion. They can do any of the five, or if they find it, significant enough in their judgment, they can do something else. So this is not, just to throw out there, it sounds like they exercised an other to invoke the use of funds for five. My other comment in general, I don't know that I get more prescriptive than this. I mean, when you've got something like natural disaster as one of those issues and then just define it as short term, hopefully nothing like what's happened with these hurricanes would hit here, but I guess there could be a major fire or something else. And I think at that point, you sort of throw this out and you at that point, you deal with what's there. So trying to get more prescriptive, we could sit here all day and banter back and forth, but already I've thrown out one example that went around what this is. And when you get into natural disasters, or a huge downturn in the economy or something like that, I mean, those things can't happen. I guess 2020 is what's expected to be at least some sort of downturn. But anyway, I would not wordsmith it too much further than this. So, thank you.
Go ahead.
What you might call it is a declared natural disaster, because that does have a pretty legal, that has a legal definition, I'm pretty sure, where you get the governor and dealing with it, at which point, otherwise, at least that there would be some funding kind of identified at that point.
Good comment. Thanks, John. Walter, do you have anything?
I'm just kind of thinking, reacting to what Bart was saying about the 6 point, the other. I think that if we include other, then in a sense, that's always going to be, you know, the folks, the public in general is going will be a little bit suspicious about an other and the wide application of other, and that would I think work against transparency. Whereas, you know, generally speaking, if something's going to be sold or it's going to be agendized in the same way, and there's going to be open public discussion, so I don't think that we have to be concerned about, you know, micromanaging it to that extent. And by leaving out the word other, I think it's going to encourage more transparency, not less.
Maybe I can just weigh in a little bit. One thing that might be a distinction between, you know, this is a fiscal emergency replan, so in response to something, I'm not sure the purchase of Cerrito Peak would actually fall under emergency plan, even if there was another category. I think that was purely, and again, I wasn't here at the time, but purely a policy choice by on behalf of the council to purchase that. So there wasn't a fiscal emergency per se that would trigger this, other than a policy decision to purchase it. And I think council can do that at any point, regardless of what this plan may say.
Thank you, John. Okay, so I agree, and I think in maybe to summarize, and we specifically stated this last time, that we don't want to be prescriptive, that we just want to trigger a discussion. And the Cerrito Peak is something that happened a couple years ago when we didn't have these guidelines. So now we're trying to put some guidelines in, if they do nothing else than just trigger a discussion of, we got to take some immediate action in the short term to kind of stop the bleeding, if you will. So, but I also recall discussion 2-3 years ago when the Management Partners report was here, and they were looking at the 10-year emergency reserves. I think the city was using a 27.5%, some number that's recommended by some financial agency. And yet, when they were projecting that forward, Bart, they were showing, because of the upcoming recession that they predicted at that time, about 2018-19, which still may arrive, they were predicting some years where it would fall below that 27.5 without any other emergency, and then other years where it would go above. So they were trying to smooth that curve, if you will. And again, that's at the discretion of council. So I think our job here is to give you some comments, and which we have done. And your presentation or your material here looks very similar, other than this proposed 6 actions that you present to council. So I think nothing significant has changed since the last city meeting, correct?
That's correct. There was a discussion about the natural disaster, and to both Member Beckman and Member Irwin's points, should there be a natural disaster, well, there might be a short-term, you know, immediate, we're not hiring people, we're not, you know, traveling or whatever, we're responding to this, and it also plays into, and the final plan would need to speak to this, the city's emergency response plan and the procedures outlined in that. Mm-hmm. So it would be short-term in that effect, that then there's a whole other process to follow for a natural disaster.
So it sounds like we're pretty much in agreement with what's here, other than John's suggestion to add in the word declared. Are we all in agreement? Mike, please.
It would... if you got a declared disaster there, then there's an automatic source of funding, which would not cover everything. It would at least give you an idea of how to plan for the cost. And if it's a natural disaster, which is not declared, then I don't think we're going to be able to do much about it anyway. So
hopefully I can keep it together long enough to make some comments. You could have a local disaster that hits the financial reserves pretty hard without having it be declared. So I wouldn't limit it to just a declared disaster. Some things that happened when I was in Kern County were local fires, which were never declared disasters, but were pretty significant on the communities that they occurred in. So I don't think I would recommend doing that. And then in response to Bart's comments, you know, the city council can adopt a budget in normal due process that utilizes reserves. So it doesn't have to be an emergency. The council can decide to use reserves at any time for anything. And then the other questions I submitted, Jennifer already answered all of those. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, John. Good comment. And that's what I was trying to make the point with the management partners report years ago, where they just said, yes, it will go below levels, provided we monitor it on an annual basis. And so, okay, so is there anything else? Jen, are you good? Okay. Thank you. Right, good. So that takes us to item B3, which is the consideration of the pay down of the fire station loan. That has been on our radar for quite some time. So thanks, Jennifer, for bringing that to our attention again. Do you want to give a few introductory statements, and then I'll add what my research found, and we'll go from there.
Sure.
The recommendation, I guess, by staff is receive report regarding fiscal energy plan mitigation measures and provide feedback. So did we officially do that?
That's why I just asked. Sometimes they've asked us to do a report, like on the Measure Q, we have to do a verbal and a written report. Other times, the last couple meetings, Jennifer has asked us to, you know, give us our general feedback, take some notes.
Okay.
If you have anything additional you'd like to add, I'm sure they've been very receptive in the past. Okay. Thanks, Mark. All right. So now we'll go on to B3, consideration of the pay down. Go ahead, Jen.
So this is an action item that I hope to get a recommendation from the committee on. I know this has been on your radar for a while. It really came up when we were doing year-end close, and at the last council meeting, there was appeal based on this property on a planning commission decision. So as we were closing the books and keeping that in mind and having sat through that conversation, started to, you know, ask about where the deposit money was, because I hadn't seen that set up anywhere, and making sure, understanding why that had not been applied to the loan pay down as of yet, realizing it probably should have been when we received it. The amount is $44,000. That's net of the closing cost from the original $50,000 deposit. I do have a call into USDA. We estimated savings at this point to be about $1,800 a year if we were to apply that towards the principal in the immediate future. And we're going under the guidance provided by Resolution 7516. So the property was originally purchased with the intent to do a fire station there. It wasn't deemed appropriate for that. So the my reading of the resolution, since that was originally the intent, then the sale of the property, the decision was to use that to pay down the debt service on the fire station. However, there is language in there that if there's other economic situations that have changed, and I believe that's why it was determined to come back to CFAC for discussion and recommendation before being presented to the council. One of the questions that did come in earlier in the committee saw the response was, how does this relate to our interest rate and maybe paying down PERS instead? When the balance of this comes through, which is, you know, can't really give you a defined date because we don't know what will happen at the next council meeting, and then there's still some time should it not get approved at that point. The interest rate on PERS is 7.25%. So it's a higher interest rate, and on a $749,000 sum of money will make a much bigger impact than the 3.75 on the debt service. So when you see this again with the larger dollar amount and the remaining balance, there will be more analysis and more discussion. I imagine more maybe in-depth conversation than perhaps with this amount. But that will be, I think, a big decision and recommendation from the committee on what to do with that amount. For the $44,000, we didn't do a significant amount of analysis for PERS, seeing how in my mind this probably should have been done in 2016 when we received the deposit.
Okay. So I guess a little bit of history might be in order because we have been, and thanks for bringing this forward. I think it was on my year-end to-do list, but the Citizens Finance Committee has been discussing this for a couple years now and semi-monitoring it. So it came to us on July 19th, 2016 by the former financial staff, and at that time there was a proposed sale of the property. And that's why council did that resolution, because when the property was purchased, it was, as Jennifer said, purchased for a fire station with the Cloisters development. And then later, for whatever reason, it was decided or determined that it was not an appropriate site. But since it had been purchased for that purpose, and then the city couldn't use it for that purpose, they had to go out and borrow more money for the fire station. There were two loans, $1.5 million that we currently have for 30 years, and another one for $300,000 from the Department of Agriculture. So that second one was retired recently, and CFAC had been recommending that when this property, even when it's sold, there was a question whether it would go, when it would sell, and it, would it go through because it's a development. That money be used to pay down the fire station loan, which really leaves, because that's really where the fire station was coming from, Measure Q, which leaves more money in the Measure Q balance for public safety, streets, and all the other things. So what came to us in July 2016 was, if you guys can share that, this was from Ms. Slayton. And basically what she said is they were anticipating maybe they'd get a payoff sooner, and this would save over $575,000 over the life of the loan. This is the major loan on the fire station. And that resulted in a – that would result in a $1.5 million loan for the fire station, and it would – mean a payback of about $1.8 million over the life of the loan versus the existing loan they had, which would be $1.5 million again, but a payback of $2.4 million over the life of the loan. So you can see where this almost $600,000 savings came. But now we are 2 years and 3 months later. And if it looks like this comes through, it's not just the $44,000. I would be more concerned about what precedent it sets for the $750,000 remaining. And if that is used to pay the Measure Q fund or the loan so that there's more available in the Measure Q fund, then you're, in essence, paying down a 3.75% loan. So someone raised an excellent question. Well, why would you do that? Why not pay down the pension liability? And I think the issue with that, my perspective is, the pension liability is a labor cost associated with labor that was never intended to be funded generally by Measure Q. Measure Q is public safety in that. So maybe you could do a transfer or something, but so that you could take advantage of paying down the pension liability while still replenishing the Measure Q or whatever, however you want to do that. And that's something that will be a discussion. So that's kind of a little history there, what's going on. The issue before us today is really to make a recommendation that the $44,440 from the deposit, which the city has received, and I think this came up a couple years ago in an audit, too, about this. So we do need to resolve that portion of it. The recommendation from staff is just that that goes, you know, on the certificate of participation or the fire station mortgage, if you will. So questions, discussion. Go ahead, Bart.
Yes, I do recall the discussion. And I was a proponent, because I looked at, I think, what was written when we were going to put it up for sale, and that said it would be used, the funds derived would be used to pay off the fire station. When this was discussed at a council meeting, the the city manager use an example of somebody had made a presentation about a skate park or something. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, maybe we can use it for the skate park. And I was very much against that. But I would distinguish between discretionary and non-discretionary needs for funds. The skate park, in my opinion, is discretionary. You know, so to use the funds for something like that, I would be against. Point John brought up of, is there for a required payoff, like PERS, that's non-discretionary, should we look at, you know, drawing down a higher rate? And I think that makes a lot of sense. In fact, I could be persuaded that would be the $44,000 as well. Because both are non-discretionary. If you can pay off a higher interest, it seems to make a lot of sense, which is John's point that he brought up, much less the balance of it. So I don't know that we'd be setting any precedent. How the benefit goes to Measure Q is a little more complicated than what my head can grapple with right now. Mm-hmm. But it's a good point that Barbara's bringing up. But I would be, to me, again, they're very different from the example, at least the one example, used by a guy who's not here anymore, used. So I would be willing to go along with all but the 44 for looking at what it would mean for paying down part of the PERS loan.
John? And remember, we don't have to make that decision now. Right now, we're only on the $44,000 and that recommendation. But it's food for thought because it will come up. And this will just be an advisory to council anyway. So,
the attitude I have is if our roads are so underfunded, every dollar you spend now to keep the roads together saves you about $4 down the road. I would be inclined to pay off that fire station so we can allocate more towards the pavement program, because the payoff on the pavement program is much higher than 8% even. You might want to have a conversation with Rob about what the payoff on allocating available funds on that road to what sort of savings you'll see down the line. So I just personally, I would pay off the fire department, fire station, and apply the money to addressing payment deficiencies.
Mr. Livek actually quoted $6 to $7 payoff when CFAC looked at this about 3-4 years ago. Just per dollar invested, that's where, you know, to get you to your PCI of 70 and why they choose certain streets over others. But I recall the figure. It was very high in terms of, the maintenance. But
anything you can do to maintain the streets, it's almost worth just doing it and then figuring out how to pay for it later, to tell you the truth. But it's, you know, we're not in a situation where we can quite do that.
John?
Well, if the loan for the fire station gets paid off or gets paid down, it's the principal on the tail end that comes off. So it doesn't have any impact on your cash obligations for the years that are coming up. If you paid off $40,000 worth of the loan, it's not going to change your payment next year or the year after that at all.
Well, that's not what was presented to us in July by the finance director. So apparently I think they had a capability, excuse me, John, where they could restructure that and it would yield about $30,000 a year, you know, at $83,000 to $54,000. So
I think you're referring to Committee Member Martin, the language from the contract that was sent to you. I do have a phone call into USDA, but I have not heard back from them. So I can't, I mean, based on the contract, what you're saying is correct, but I had saw some other non-official stuff that implied what chair was speaking to. So, you know, maybe this is a little premature and we need to table it for the next discussion, and I can get information both in both PERS on what the savings would yield and USDA when I hear back from them.
I would recommend that. If there's no urgency to this, if it happened back in 2016 and there's no urgency for a decision, I would recommend getting some more information. Yeah. And I did have a question for you as far as the mechanics of prepaying CalPERS. Is the only way to do it to actually select a shorter amortization period for each of the plans, or is there some way to give them a lump sum?
No, there's multiple ways to pay down PERS. And that's, since that's not agendized, don't know if we should get into the full details of that, but there is a staff report that we did. I can send a link to the committee or send the report to the committee when we talked about PERS options during the budget study session. And it outlined a whole variety of them, from fresh starts to picking one of the bases to apply it to, doing a lump sum. There's infinite possibilities, really.
Okay, thank you. And I guess the CalPERS right now is 7.25, but it's going down to 7.
That's
is that
correct.
Right? So probably 7 is the figure that you'd want to be calculating by. For me, I mean, if it's my money, I'm going to pay off the 7% instead of the 3.75%. If there's a way to do it. And with the $44,000, it might not make that big of an impact, but with the $750,000, it would have a big long-term impact on the city. The city wouldn't see a big impact in the immediate years, but over the long term, I think it would be pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. But I
would agree with that.
But I would still keep in mind that, you know, if you really want the biggest payoff, it's, you know, pavement maintenance right now for us.
If there's a way to recalculate the loan or change it so that your payment obligation is reduced immediately, then that may be true. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen with just like regular bonds, you always pay off the longest bonds first, right? That's the way those are typically, the indentures are typically written.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could get more information on that for us, that would be helpful.
And Jennifer, that's why I was looking at maybe there would be a transfer. You could still accommodate that goal, paying off the CalPERS, but transferring back from general fund or wherever you would normally pay off CalPERS back to Measure Q so that it's back in the right pool for which it was intended.
And that's the other thing I would recommend. If because of the fact that you have several different plans, you know, you got your miscellaneous and then your safety fire, safety police.
Nine plans in total,
yeah. Right. That you could focus on prepaying just the ones that pertain to the general fund if you're really interested in saving money for the general fund. So that would be your safety plans, basically.
Well,
that'd be most of it, wouldn't it?
No. So the harbor department, the patrol officers are classified as police. So really the only one that is almost fully general fund is the fire department. Measure Q pays for that extra relief person.
Okay, maybe you could, I don't know, it makes your analysis more involved, but maybe you could show us doing just that and how that impacts the general fund in addition to, you know, others.
Walter.
Were Measure Q funds used to purchase that property initially, or was that just what kinds of monies were used to
purchase the property? You know, I went back through 3 years of reports trying to figure that out, and I know somebody I can probably find out from. I'm not real sure. Where I'm coming from is we went to the voters. We asked them to approve Measure Q. It was to rebuild the fire station. Then the city went out and procured that property, thinking they would use that. So that's where I'm coming from, that to use it for some other general fund purpose is, in a way, you know, the $800,000 you spent, shifting it to the general fund from the Measure Q. So because you had to go get a bigger loan because that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about that.
We had people in public comments speaking on that very subject, too, a couple years ago. So there's, I'm sure, people out there that remember, hey, you were going to pay it off and paid on this loan and make more available in Measure Q. Why are you changing your mind? Because there's all these other good causes that could come up. to spend the, you know, $750,000, $800,000. So anyways, I don't know. Do you
and
know?
I don't recall.
I don't know, but if we're tabling this for our next meeting, I can get that and bring it back.
Thank you. I think that would be helpful. At least it would fill in some gaps in terms of, you know, what's kind of a rational thing to do. If that money came from Measure Q funds to buy the property initially, it seems to me that it should come back to the Measure Q pot.
I don't see how it could have, because we've never had that much of a
I know. I don't see
it. But
I
still look as, I'm not sure that's relevant. It's more, you know, we had a little bit of money saved up to go buy something, and then we had to go to the voters.
Right. I don't think it is either, but I feel it's a question that should be answered, because it's going to be asked by someone out there.
You're right. Yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead. Did you have anything else?
I agree with looking into that. When I what I recall, I don't recall Measure Q coming into the discussion, but was specifically in the discussion as far as the way it was written, where the funds were to be used to pay off the fire station, however we got it. But I agree with the two action items to go see what the options are and paying off or drawing down either the loans, and to make sure that we're clear on how the property was acquired and what at least was said at that time we were going to, at that time, what we're going to do, and then subsequent to making a decision to sell it or put it up for sale, what were the stipulations on what would happen to the funds, whether it's a Measure Q or not. I don't.
Oh, that's in the resolution. That's why they said it would paid on the loan, but it would come to CFAC, and if there were more pressing needs, we'd make a recommendation. So that's kind of where we were. But I agree. I think that's – do you need something from us today on the $44,000, or was it just for – I think it's been a good discussion, but
– No, we'll hold off on doing anything with that. It's sitting in a deposit account right now, so at least we have it identified at this point, and we'll bring it back with more information.
Because I agree with my colleagues here, that's $800,000. That's a significant amount that can change the interest, the loan, the account. There's a whole lot of implications, and that should not be a hasty decision. This has been on the, you know, on our docket for 3 years at least, and we want to at least advise our leaders with good information. So thank you, Jennifer. All right. I believe that concludes the discussion on that item. So that brings us to item B4, the budget brief. Again, this has been on our docket for some time. Thank you, Jennifer. I think you and your staff, Val and everybody, included a lot of our comments from last time. Looking much better. You also have been meeting with some of your staff. Are you pretty satisfied with what it is now? I think the glossary is more readable. That was one thing we were concerned about.
Yep, we shared. We did share this with all of our finance team and the executive team with the city. I had a few late responses back about some consistency with font. So I'll make sure if this is kind of the final version and go through and clean up those little formatting things. Did notice, too, that the chart, the pie chart that remains is still a little bit scrunched together, so I'll try to expand that out a little bit.
I noticed that was a little bit bigger on one of the previous versions. I think maybe you just put narrow margins on the printer when you print it out, and maybe that'll fatten it up a bit.
Yeah, yep. But otherwise, there wasn't any substantial changes that were recommended from either the executive team or the staff in our department. I think everybody thought it was useful for the purpose it's meant to serve.
I noticed we had 4 council goals, and I think we might have had 5 on one of the previous ones, that one being the improve communication to the community. Did that drop off there, or was that not discussed? I know Mr. Collins went over the goals last week.
I'll pull up a prior one and see if got cut off with the margins again.
Yeah, well, that could be, yeah. Any comments up here? Go ahead, Bart.
I spent some time, thank you, to with Jen a couple hours ago, relative to the revenue and expenditures. And we're waiting for you to make your one catch of the capital improvements. You caught the $25,000, didn't you? See, I knew it. I win the bet. but this is a rather substantial change. I mean, I printed this off from the agenda, and it had expenditures of $51 million, and that's what I was using when we had the discussion. The handout has $44 million for expenditures, taking away primarily transfers out of that sheet. So that was a change you've made since you sent the agenda out? Pretty sure this is what I printed off. And the same thing, it's got the five versus the four and the goals. But my point being, whether it's 51 or 43, the revenue is really revenue plus sources of funds. I guess technically one might argue that sources of funds is a revenue, but I think the implication is by looking at this, one, if they're not too familiar with accounting, and I don't think this should be an accounting document, but it basically implies that the city in the 18-19 fiscal year is going to have $56 million of revenues and $44 million of expenditures, therefore basically managing everything really well because you're spending a lot less than the revenues you're taking in. Now, a lot of why that's happening is we're taking funds from reserves like the sewer and water that were there somewhat for that purpose, although part of that purpose was to put some sewer line repairs in, which weren't done. But if we skip that part of it, but I think it doesn't imply the right thing. My sense is our actual revenues, what we're taking in uniquely in the year and what we're spending uniquely in the year probably are pretty close. Then we are then drawing down cash balance reserves, which are, again, I may not know because there's a couple different terms there as far as some are reserves and some are cash balances, I guess. But I would have gone through the arithmetic generally of saying cash balance from the year before plus revenue, less expenditures should be the next year-end cash balance reserves. And it doesn't come out close to that, primarily because of the use of sources of funds to make this happen. So how it gets changed, I don't know, but everything else pretty much has a picture of the way it is. Showing revenues of $56 million and expenditures of $44 million, I think would give the layperson the impression of we're getting a lot more revenues than we're spending, and that's not, in my opinion, that's not what's happening. We're using monies that are available through reserves or whatever to balance the budget, which is a way you manage money. I'm not objecting to that. I'm just objecting to what I think the message is here and why, you know. So anyway, I know it's these transfers and the double counting. There's also double counting in some of these revenue funds. So it's not really $55 million. It's something less than that. And I don't think this should be an accounting document. This is done to balance with accounting documents, but we're not trying to explain accounting things. This should be something for the layperson. And I don't, in my opinion, this doesn't present a lay view of what's happening with this double counting and transfers in and sources of funds. So.
Jennifer, can you comment on that? Because we've been through before, the numbers didn't balance, so we put the transfers in. So I want to make sure we're not going back and forth.
Yeah, so I think maybe you might have picked up one of the original versions when you were in my office. Yeah, it does still say 55 and 51.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry about that. Your point.
That doesn't change any what I did, just that one number.
So I think, in this, again, we kind of talked about this in budget, too, and committed for 1920 budget to try to pull out those transfers and make that clearer. I think adding source of funds, if that helps to clarify, or if there needs to be another footnote about what that means. I mean, primarily the capital project funds, there's some exceptions that some of the grants that we receive for those go right in there, but those are all transfers in from another fund. So the water reclamation facility is funded by a transfer in from water and sewer, and I think that's what Mr. Beckman is referring to, is kind of a double counting, if you will. So if it helps to clarify, to add source of funds to that, to realize what you can't get from $55 million coming in to 51 and then the cash balance is going down, I'm happy to do that. I don't know that there's any more of a... I don't have a great other idea, unless somebody on the committee does, is how to clarify that any further at this point without adding source of funds or spending some time and going back and really kind of highlighting and taking out those transfers, which is not how the budget has been adopted. You know.
Yeah, it is a challenge because his point is well taken. We're 4.6 million. It looks like, we're underspending 4.6 million a year, and that's not necessarily the case. Somehow we want to get that. I don't know. Any other ideas up here? Or your staff, would you have any thoughts on how you guys could do that?
I think one of the challenges is that since this is kind of normal course of doing budgets in government, we understand it as technical people in finance.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more of a challenge to try to pull that out. If we add source of funds there, we can add a footnote and explain that a substantial source of funds for capital projects consists of transfers in or use of accumulated fund balance or cash balance in other funds.
Or
just make that clear.
We could try that. I'm concerned about getting too much data on it, too. Or the other thing is we take out that total, the 55, 51, all that, and pick one or two more other funds and do with them just like you do with the general fund, the water and sewer, whatever the bigger ones are that everybody's interested in.
That would be a policy recommendation from this committee, because if you do that, you won't get the full citywide picture.
I know. We did that on the charts that we did a year or so ago when we had the subcommittee. We just did the general fund. Remember, we did the water and sewer, I think. But if you want to get the total picture, you are getting into a little more accounting legalese. And that's the direction we originally said we wanted to go. But unless we put some big footnote in there that the, expenditures or the revenues exceed expenditures due to transfers and other public funding or something, it doesn't mean we're necessarily underspending it. I don't know, because we're in a quagmire here, if we will. John, any thoughts?
Well, in regards to the general fund, you have to show the transfers because those are material to the general fund. So obviously that has to be in there. But as far as the citywide data, the transfers should net to zero, right? I mean, you're going to have, if you're looking at the whole city and you've got transfers coming from city funds to city funds and it's not coming in from some outside entity, then the total transfers should net to zero.
I think the challenge is that there's revenues accounted for under the enterprise funds in the $22.4 million that are then also counted as revenues in the capital projects fund of $13 million because we're transferring money from the water fund to the wharf project, and it's showing in revenues under both. it's also showing as a transfer out, so you're capturing that down in the expenditure. So fees come into water, revenue, transfer that out, expenditure, put it into capital project, revenue.
So the only way you could do it, I think, to get to where Bart wants to go with this, that shows only new money coming in mm-hmm. and money going out, being spent, would be to present it in without any transfers at all, and then just make a footnote that says figures vary from adopted budget due to netting of transfers. Otherwise, it's not going to match what you have in your adopted budget.
Yeah, never will.
It won't match the adopted budget, and it will not reflect a substantial portion of the $13 million in capital projects.
Right. But that would explain how it is that your reserve is going down by, you know, almost $6 million. Hmm. I mean, those numbers would match up then.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with doing this again next year, maybe somewhere to get it to where when we talk about what's the actual revenue, for example, at 55, the 22 in enterprise and the 13 for capital projects, some of that is the same money. So I don't know, we're really, you know, our true amount of money we're getting is not $55 million, and that's the implication here, much less the concept of we're taking money out of reserves to make the revenue. So I'm okay, because in the short time here, this matches the accounting stuff. But again, I don't think the purpose of this document is to get teach people how to do municipal accounting. And that's really what we're presumably being more concerned with here than having a document that explains really what the numbers are. Whereas all the other charts, I think, are fine, like the general fund, mm-hmm. the revenues and expenditures, and I think the breakdown of showing how salaries is a huge part of that, those are really clean. And the general fund in general, is very clean all across the board. You can almost just take all that out, because even under revenues and expenditures and reserves, it's pretty clean. It's the other ones that, what John's pointing out, is really where it gets kind of convoluted.
So, Jennifer, question for you. When you publish your quarterly report, do you publish or report anything about transfers or use of reserves?
We highlight the major revenue categories. Transfers isn't one of them. We do some of the transfers on a monthly basis, a couple on a quarterly basis, and then there's a few they don't do until year end. We don't do till year end.
And how are you showing those on the quarterly report? Are you showing those as revenues and expenditures?
I think in the total summary, if I'm recalling correctly, and I'm going to be doing the first quarter soon, so that will enlighten me, but I'm thinking that we have that one major summary page that hits all of the revenues and all of the expenditures, and the transfers are included there to show what percentage has been transferred to date. Some of them, like the cost allocation plan, are flat, you know, one.
So it's labeled as transfer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
So, actually, I think if we take a step up and say, what is the objective of this, and who's the audience, and we truly want it to be a communication tool, and we truly want it, as Don was saying last time about, you know, the audience not being accountants, being more the citizens, then I'm sorry to say, but we got to do something with this citywide data, because it concerns me if people start using terms like double counting, and they will misinterpret that as a city misreporting and painting a rosier picture than what's there. So maybe, and since obviously it's not going to get published until the after the election, I presume, with the names on the front, we're that close. So, but I don't want to abandon this effort by any means. We're 95%, 96% there. But if you could maybe take that back, Jennifer, our comments, and think about how we could do that, like with John's suggestion or something, where we don't show almost 56 million of revenue and 51.3 of expenditures. I think people will just look at the totals and misinterpret it the way it is.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Everybody in agreement with that? Yeah, okay. Or we'll go back to our charts on the website like we did last time with just the water, sewer, and the harbor funds and don't try to paint the total picture, so either way. But thank you all. Those very good comments. All right, so that will take us to item B5, future agenda items. So, Jennifer, we talked last time about maybe would we have information on Measure Q for the November meeting so that we could at least initiate that discussion instead of holding it till December? What do you think?
So we're in a target to have the year-end report for 17-18. It would also be time to hear the first quarter budget report for 18-19. And if you recall, there was direction from the council to bring that to the committee before going to the council. And that's citywide first quarter budget report. So those two, depending on how long they would take, we would bring back the budget
brief.
Also have hopefully more information on the Coral Ave payment
and the fire. I'm sorry, what?
On the pay down of the fire loan.
Oh, okay.
Versus PERS.
Gotcha.
And really first quarter investment report as well.
Yeah, we had that. Okay. So, and the first quarter would be through September 30th. That should be hopefully short and brief. But, okay, well, we have more than enough for that agenda. We'll get to what we can, I believe. Anything else, guys? I think this gentleman covers it. Okay. All right, so that will bring us to any concluding comments or remarks from anybody, announcements or anything. I do want to thank John Irwin for his service. He just informed us, is that okay to say, that he will be absent for the next few meetings. He's going to be deployed to the Alabama and the Carolinas as part of your National Guard duties, or FEMA, I'm sorry, thank you. So he's going to be helping out there. So he'll send something to Jen very brief, and then we'll get that on the council agenda. Anything else, anybody? All right, thank you. I'll conclude the meeting, 4:40, Tuesday, October 16th. Thank you, Jen and Val, for your support. Thank you, audience, for your participation.